This morning I want to think a little bit about abilities that the world values. So the first question I'd like to ask, and got a few people online. It's great to see you. You're welcome to chat. I'm not sure if we have the audio online, but in the room, shout out. I'd like to know, how does the world show that it values certain abilities? How does the world say, hey, this is really great. We want to show you it's really great. How does the world do that? Money. The world says, let's give you money if you're really good at things that we like. Good. How else does the world show it values things?
Applause.
Yeah. Excellent.
Awards.
Yep. Good. What was that?
Fame.
Yes. And somebody over here?
Likes.
Yeah. That's right. We get our likes. We get our retweets or whatever you call it now. I'm not sure what you do now, but... that there's this real sense of sometimes we give power. We say, wow, we like what you're good at, so we'll just give you a lot of power and have you control things. Right? So, now the question is, what is it that the world would highly value? Right? What are the things that the world says, oh, let's give that person money, let's give them power, let's give them likes and fame? What are things that the world values?
Get things done.
That's right. You're productive.
Beauty.
Athletic skills,
yes.
In theory, peace.
Say that again?
Peace,
yeah, in theory, yes. Yeah.
Confidence,
yeah, they reward confidence.
People value people with money.
Yeah, value people with money. Maybe there'll be a source of some coming my way. Yeah.
People that can fix down power lines.
Ah, yes. Fixing power lines. We highly value that. Yeah. Yeah, although we kind of forget those people when we have power again, right? Anything else that the world highly values? What was that?
Cooking skills.
And yeah.
The complement and contrast are there's these very good people who build things and who can destroy things.
Ah, yeah. Sometimes we really value that you can destroy something, you can take something down. Yeah.
To be able to live. Peaceful lives, and the freedom to do that.
Sure, yeah, really value it.
Governance, to be able to live that way, honestly.
Yeah, good. And
musicians,
yeah, another really important thing people value. Yes, one more. What was that?
Intellectual power,
yeah. I want to transition to ask this question. What abilities does God highly value? What is it that God looks and says, now that's good. That's good. And I want to think about that a bit this morning. And I want to start by praying and just asking God to genuinely speak today, that we would hear his voice. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that... You know us. We're also concerned that you know us, that you search our hearts. And so I'm thankful that we had a time to confess today and ask for forgiveness. We pray that you would teach us your ways and what you value. We pray that you would show us how to value the things that you value. We ask that you would speak to each one of us today. That we would be aware of your voice, of your presence, that Holy Spirit, you would teach us the ways of our God, and that you would bring a confidence in your design for each one of us. So we thank you that we can trust you in this. In Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. So the title today is Indispensable Parts and some interesting drawings to look at in a few minutes. The QR code will take you to the passage and the link, but you can go into it, a device or a printed copy. 1 Corinthians 12 we're looking at. And some handouts that if you didn't get them, some of the notes from going through the things this morning. We're in a series during this month of just thinking about how we can be a part of the work that God is doing in the world. And so today we're looking at this letter to a church a church in Corinth, and we'll just walk through this passage together. The first part, I just want to summarize. So the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12, the first set of verses, the author says, God helps and blesses his people, meaning the church, by giving different individuals different abilities that they're to use for the common good. So God says, I'm going to bless, I'm going to help, I'm going to provide for my people, the church, by giving different abilities to different people. And I expect them to use those abilities for the good of the community. But we learn that the Corinthian church didn't really value all the different gifts that God gave. There were some of the gifts that God gave, and they say, oh, we love this. And there were some gifts that God gave, they thought, maybe we don't really need that so much. And so one of the things that they did highlight, it seems, that they loved public displays of power in speaking and miracles. They just loved great speakers. And maybe the way we would go to Wharton Center and see a musical performance, they would go and just watch speaker after speaker and cheer and shout with the good speakers and boo the bad speakers away. And this was a really big thing to see people who just were powerful speakers or could do things like miracles and show spiritual power. They're really impressed with that. Other things, not so much. And so starting at verse 12, so 1 Corinthians 12, just want to walk through the rest of the chapter to learn what the author, the Apostle Paul, wanted to teach. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So stop there for a second. It says the human body is one human body. We're not confused when I stand here. You say, is that one person or two up there? Right? We don't get confused. We know what it is to have one body. And that body is made up of many different parts. Right? There are all these different parts, and even with all its many parts, it forms one body. And so he says that's what the church is like, what God's people is like. Lots of different parts, but it all comes together to form one body. Now, one of the fascinating things in that setting is this one body was made up of really different people. And, of course, we love this as a church because it fits who we are as a church. You can look at us and see we're not just one kind of people, right? And they visibly had that. They had people who were Jewish and those who were not Jewish. They had big differences in their economic and power and social situation, with some people being a form of slaves and other people being free and even controlling the slaves. And yet they came together as one body. This is a really big deal. With all the differences, there's one community, one body, one family in Christ. Even so, he says, I want you to remember that the body is not just one part, but there are many. So he says, remember this. There are lots of different parts, different people, different abilities. So then verse 15, he says, now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? I just want to highlight a couple of things here. First of all, there is this statement, because I'm not a hand, the foot shouldn't say, I don't belong to the body. So there is a temptation by some to say, I don't really matter. I don't really count. Because, think of all that a hand can do that a foot can't. Right? Just think of those things. It's like, I don't have much to contribute because I'm not a hand. And he says, but don't say I don't belong to the body. And he goes on and says, if you're an ear, don't say, well, I'm not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. The ear feels like I can't see anything, and so I don't really matter. Just don't say that, because that's not true. And so then the next verse, 18, he goes on to say, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. God designed the human body and the community of God's people, placing all the parts, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So in these verses, Paul is saying, don't say, I don't matter. Right? He's speaking to the people who feel like, oh, because of my challenges, or I don't have the abilities, or the education, or the money, or the power, or whatever it is. Realize God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So don't say, I don't matter. But then he changes. And in verse 21, he turns it around. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. So he turns it around and he says, you know what, there are some parts in the body, like the eye, that's tempted to say, you know, we do pretty well on our own. We don't really need the hand because the eye is what's really needed. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. He's challenging. There are some people who looked around and said, there are some pieces here that maybe we don't need. We would be just fine if they left us. He says, don't say that. Right? Because that's not true. That's not right. So he goes on to say, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Again, he says, God has put the body together. And the striking thing is that God is giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. That there are parts in the body that naturally in the world doesn't care about, or maybe even rejects. He says, God has put together the body of the church in such a way that what the world rejects, he actually gives extra honor to. He says, there are parts of the body of Christ, they don't need any extra effort to show them honor. But there are people who really do. Because the world looks and says, there's not much value here. They never get paid extra. In fact, sometimes they don't get paid at all. They're never honored. People don't clap for them and say, oh, let's give you an award because you're doing a great job. In fact, often they will look down on people. And so God says, those that don't get honored, I choose to honor. And he says, there shouldn't be any division where people say, no, you're not worth as much, you're not as valuable. But he says, here's the goal, is that we would have equal concern for each other. We know that on sports teams, not every player in both professional and now in college, not every player gets paid the same thing, right? Some players get as much as everybody else on the team combined. Because people say, that's the one that really matters. That's the player that really matters. So all the concern is focused on a few. And Paul says, that's not at all God's design for his people. There should be equal concern for everybody. And the reality is that in any group of people, being influenced by our culture, we're naturally going to say, there's somebody who deserves to be honored. And the others, not so much. And yeah, I'll be transparent. I'm one of those people that the world is likely to say, oh, let's honor that person. Has an ability to stand up in front and to speak. And let's honor that person. And Paul says, forget that. There's enough of that going around. He says, what you need to do is to look for the people that the world's tempted to say, I'm not sure that's even very valuable, and honor that one. Honor the ones that God has put in a place that we're tempted to say, if they didn't show up, it wouldn't really hurt things very much. He says, pay attention there. We should have equal concern for each other. And he says, don't say you don't matter. And perhaps when he says if one part suffers, every part suffers with it, one of the ways the world is tempted to say you don't matter is if you're suffering. You say, you know, that's kind of a drag when the suffering people are around. Maybe there's another place where they can be encouraged. And he says, no, if part of the body suffers, bring honor there, care for people there. So then verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And his obvious answer is no, nobody does all that stuff. He says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So again, he says, for all those who are genuinely Christians, he says, every one of you is an important part of the body of Christ. Because God has placed you. God has decided, here's what I want to give to this person for the good of the whole body. And maybe it's a part, like our human bodies, that we're a little embarrassed by, and we say, let's kind of keep that covered and not talk about that. And right, he says, in even an awkward way for us to think about, he says, in our human body, we don't just give a lot of attention to everything. And yet, we highly value what God has designed in the body. It says God has placed everyone who is genuinely his child through Jesus, he's placed everyone in the church as he's chosen. He says each one of you is part of it. Each one of you has a designed place, and God says it's so valuable. In fact, he says it's indispensable. Now he goes on to say, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Which is an interesting thing, because it seems like he just said, well, don't think of some things as greater. I think what he's saying is eagerly desire to be a blessing to the body, because those are the greater gifts. Eagerly desire that who you are and what you do genuinely brings good to the people of God. Desire that. And if that happens to be by something that looks big or something that looks very small, don't worry about that. Eagerly desire to bring blessing to the church. Eagerly desire to be what God has called you to be for the good that he has designed. So the big idea from this, God is the masterful and gracious architect and builder of his church. He says this multiple times. God has designed his church and each person. And he's good at it. And because he is the designer and the builder, every person and every gift in Christ is vital for the good of the body. God doesn't say, I'm going to get some really important parts, and then the rest, whatever happens, that'll be fine. We do that, right? Let's get the great soccer player to be on our team, and then the rest of the team, well, we'll work on that. But if we can get that best person, then that'll be powerful and good. He says, God doesn't do that. God is a great builder. And he says, I want all the parts, I've designed all of them to be right where they are, and I want them to be a blessing, to be valued. Now I want to say a quick word about using the word church. God is the architect and the builder of his church, and a way to think about this is God's people doing God's work. What I want to be really clear about is he didn't mean when a group of people gathers together for a worship service and somebody stands in front and talks and leads and does things, that's good and that's real. but his church is all week long when God's people are using who he's made them to be in ways that maybe people see, maybe people never see. And all of them are critical. Some people get honored and a bunch of people don't. And he says, make sure you honor the ones that the world would be inclined to just say, yeah, that really doesn't do much. I can still remember exactly where I was when it hit me, when Jesus was in the temple. And all these people were coming in with their gifts and they were giving money and so much money. And he called his disciples and said, come over here, you've got to see this. This is the greatest thing. And you see, look out there. Do you see that widow? And watch as she drops in the coins that if she missed the basket, nobody would be able to find them. They're so small. And he said, she put in more than everybody else. And I always thought he was just being sweet and kind to somebody who didn't matter. And then it hit me. Maybe he was serious. Maybe she put in more than everybody else did. It just looked to people like she put in something so tiny it didn't matter. He has built his church and he says, this is where my people do my work. And I put all the pieces there. And every one of them is valuable. So that each and every person and every gift is valuable. And what I mean by a gift is an ability to serve and benefit people and the world. God has given to each and every person this ability to bless others, to do his work, to bring the good he wants to bring. So, first drawing of a rather ordinary person. God made people with hands and feet and heart and mind and one mouth and two ears, by the way, which there is good wisdom in saying use them accordingly. But there are many different parts in good proportions. And they all matter, right? And I know they matter because I was helping Forrest, our oldest son, the other day. We were trying to fix his lawnmower, and somebody had sharpened the blade, and I wasn't paying attention to how sharp they had sharpened it, and so I cut my thumb, just a small cut on the edge of my thumb. And I went home, and I thought, you know, I should probably clean this out. So I ran some cold water, and I put my thumb under the water. All of a sudden, my entire body was very concerned about my thumb because it hurt. It hurt so much to run that water through it. Every part mattered. Number one, I should have paid more attention to where my thumb was when I was working with a lawnmower. But number two, as soon as it hurt, I didn't say, well, get rid of that thumb. It's making it painful for us. No, my whole body said, wow, I want to protect my thumb. Right? He says, you've been made, the church has been made with all these different parts in good proportion. And so the body of Christ, the church, should value all the parts of the body. Paul says there are lots of different parts with lots of different abilities and interests, and they all matter, and God has proportioned them appropriately. Now, some of us might tend to look like this. Some of us are very word-oriented, and we like to use them. Some of us use lots of words. Some of us think with words, right? We can't think unless we're saying words. Some of us, when we care for people, we use words to care for them. Some of us, when we do things with words. And that is good, right? God has gifted some of us that way, but here's the trouble. Sometimes churches speak and act as the word gifts matter the most. They say, here's what's really valuable, is when you can speak for God. All the other stuff, it's okay. It's all right. We need some of that too. But oh boy, when somebody speaks for God, let's praise that person. Let's pay them. Let's reward them. Let's call on God to give us more people like that. Right? Well, there's good in that, but we get out of proportion. Some people are a bit more like this. Some of us are action people, right? We take action, and so we care for people with actions. Might be slow to use words to say, oh, I care for you, I love you. Those might be slow to come, but boy, actions, we can do that. And these people get things done. And even sometimes they think by doing. I have to take action in order to know what's going on in the world. And so here's the trouble. is sometimes churches speak and act as though action gifts matter the most. We're going to be a place that gets things done, and so we're going to reward people who do that and honor people who do that. And it's good when that happens. But sometimes we're out of proportion. And so then some people are all heart. They easily make and keep friends. They're compassionate and they're passionate. They care for people. It's a good thing. Sometimes churches speak and act as though heart gifts matter the most. And all that other stuff doesn't really matter so much. See, the body of Christ, the church, should value all the parts of the body, which has many different parts with many different abilities and interests. A statement that I read this week that was really helpful was that the church must not accept the elevation of one particular gift over the others. Church should not tolerate that. And yet, how easily the church does that and says, here's the gift, oh, that's impressive. And we shouldn't tolerate that. We should say God has designed people with all these different gifts. He put everybody exactly with what he wants them to have, placed them there, and said, now that's good for the body. There are many different parts with many different interests, and we should value them all. And he says, seemingly, the seemingly unimportant parts and gifts may be most important. The ones that we overlook may, in fact, be the ones that are most critical. You may know the story. So this is the space shuttle, the old space program in the United States. When it would take off, anybody know how heavy the space shuttle was when it would take off? I guess it's about 4.5 million pounds, right? That's a lot of thrust to get that off the ground, right? To 4.5 million pounds lift into space and eventually be going at 17,000 miles an hour. The Challenge, you know it, Space Shuttle Challenger, 1986, was this horrible disaster. In flight, 73 seconds into the flight, it just was destroyed. And tragically, a crew of 7 people was killed, one of whom was a teacher who was sent to represent children to get them excited about science and engineering. And it was such a tragic event. And I remember seeing it. And so this big question of what in the world caused this? And it's an amazing thing what they figured out. The cause of this disaster, of this giant device, 4.5 million pounds taking off, it was one unseen part. This part didn't help it with any power, didn't add to its thrust. It didn't help guide it. There was no communication in it. It didn't help the crew. There was no life support in it. It basically didn't do anything except one thing. And this part was about 1/4 inch around. It's actually about 40 feet long, but it was just a piece of rubber. Probably weighed a couple of pounds. Out of 4.5 million pounds, out of a couple of pounds, it was this O-ring that was supposed to prevent these gases from escaping. And that one part of this whole thing was enough to destroy it. And it turns out that one part, when it was overlooked, it destroyed everything. See, we know that sometimes parts that says, oh, that's not very exciting, you know, say to people, oh, I work on the space shuttle, what do you do? Well, this little piece of rubber. Oh, you know, I want to hear that you work on important things, right? And yet this piece, when it was ignored, brought disaster. One other illustration. You know what this is? This is actually a hitch pin. So if you're going to tow a big trailer, you get a big truck, you get a big trailer, and in between you get a hitch, and then you need a part like this that connects the hitch to the truck. And this particular hitch pin, there's a store, Harbor Freight, where you can get things cheap, but you can buy that for $4. Right? The truck that's going to tow it, tens of thousands of dollars. The trailer's going to tow it, really expensive. The piece in between, you can buy for $4, and that's what's necessary to tow 21,000 pounds. And if you don't have it, you can't do it. See, sometimes this tiny part that's not worth much, it's the one thing you have to have in order for it to work. So 1 Corinthians says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. There are parts in the church that we think don't matter. And he says, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. The parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And if the church ignores them, the cost will be very great. Paul says, think about people the way God does, not the way the world does. In Corinth, they had the things they were impressed by. Great speakers and spiritual gifts. And the world today, we talked about it. What are things that the world's impressed by? Smart people, people who can get things done, people who can entertain us, make us feel encouraged and feel good, and all sorts of things that we really value. And we say, that's what we want to reward. But the parts of the body that seem to be weaker actually are indispensable. See, God is the masterful and gracious architect and builder of his church. So every person and every gift in Christ is vital for the good of the body. Now, I just want to stretch us a little bit in thinking about gifts that God gives. When God sets together a group of people and says, I want them to be a community together, some of us, he says, I'm going to make you really people-oriented people. You're going to be good at being a friend. You're going to be good at listening and caring for people. You're going to be really good at that. And sometimes we see it and we hear about it, and often we never know about it because they're quietly being a friend to somebody who's in need. Some of the gifts God gives are action gifts, people who get stuff done. Say, you need something, I'll take care of that. Something broken, I can fix that. There are word-oriented people who are great at ideas and talking and organizing ideas. There are creativity and beauty-focused people who say, to make something be satisfying to see and to move in my soul. There are some people that God says, I'm going to get you there by formal education, and some people, not at all. Right? Some people, it's like, oh, you've got a history, you've got so much experience and all these degrees, and other people, you can't find any of that, and yet God has gifted them. Some people seem to have many and big gifts, and some people have few and small gifts, and God says, I put them all where I want them. Some people have vertical gifts, right? Like loving and serving God, and some people have horizontal gifts, loving and serving people. Some people serve with passion. Whatever they do, they're so excited about it. And some people serve with practical concern. And some people serve with willingness. Say, oh, if you need the work done, I could do that. And all of these are as God has chosen, right? Every gift is vital for the church. Because God is this great architect and builder of the church. So every person and every gift in the body is vital. So I want to give a couple of applications for us. First of all, is thank God for his design of you. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And I'd encourage you to put your name in that. God has placed me in the body just as he wanted me to be. For some of us, that's an easy thing to do. We say, well, yeah, I'm pretty content with how he's made me. Yeah, that's okay. And for some of us, that's I've experienced many times in my life gift envy, where I look around and I see people with an ability I don't have, and it's like, oh, I wish I had had that gift. Oh, that would have been great. And I don't stop and say, but God has given me a gift. He's built me in a particular way. And so some of us find that hard, and yet it is the call to thank God for how he has made each of us. Even if the world or even if the church seems not to value you, God does. And the reality is the church needs you. One of the things that's been talked about a lot in society is society really likes extroverts. They like people-oriented people who can easily talk with others and make friends and bring people around them and lead them. The world really likes extroverts. And it can start to feel like, oh, wouldn't it be great to be in a church full of extroverts? And the introverts are thinking, nah. But sometimes we say, that's what we'll praise. Oh, those people who always have lots of people around them. Isn't that great? And we'll highly value that. God highly values how he's made each of us. And I want to say that Crossway needs you, needs each of these things. We might not always live that way because we've got a lot of learning to do. But God has given us gifts in each person, and we need them. So to thank God for how he's designed you and for others. And then to value, develop, and grow in how God made you. Right? To say, this is a valuable thing he's done. How do I develop this? How do I grow in this? Remember that the church needs you as God's gift. And you might say, but we're in an academic community, and I'm not very academic. Good news. God saw fit to give us people who think of themselves, I'm not very academic, I can't do that. Good news. We need that, right? We need people with all the different ways in which God has made us. So it's important for us to figure out your gift and to grow in it, right? To trust God's design and say, okay, I don't have to be sorry that I am the way I am. Now, we need to do this in love and not selfishness. So the whole next chapter says, you can have the greatest gifts in the world, but if you're seeking your own good, it's just a mess. It's noise. If you're looking and comparing it, well, I've got this and they've got that, that's not love. He says it's just noise. But figure out your gift and grow in it, and it takes risks and effort. It's not like we say, oh, well, God made me the way I am, fine, I'll just be the way I am. No, he's called us into the way he has designed us. It does take risk and effort, yet both you and others will experience God's grace through your gift. And so it is a key value for us as a church to say, how do we help you grow and use your gifts? How do we help each other to discover these things and to build them? And we want to grow in this, to value every single person in that way. So to value, develop, and grow in how God made you, and then we need to grow to value and promote others' gifts. Right? We do this when people are like us. And we say, oh, I like getting stuff done, and there's somebody who gets stuff done. I like that kind of person. Right? But also, when they're very unlike you. Isn't it a good thing that God made some people really different? So, for Karen and me, I grew up an engineer. She grew up an artist. And at first, it's like, ah, you know, this is really different. I don't know what it means to think of the world this way. And now I say, wow, thank you, God, for helping me realize that seeing the whole world as an engineering problem to solve is a really bad way to be in the world. I tried to do that with people. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. And so I need people who are really different from me. And so I thank God for caring in that. And praise God that the body has parts that are really different from you. And here's one concrete thing. I ask you, thank people for using God's gift in them. When you see it, thank them for it. Say, it's really cool to see this, especially if it's the kind of gift the world will ignore. And again, a key value for our church is to do this. And one of the things I want to specifically address is that sometimes some of us feel like, I struggle with English, and so I'm not sure I have much to contribute until I solve that problem. God has gifted our church with everyone who is here. And what you bring in seeing the world through a different language and the journey that is a gift to who we are. God didn't make a mistake. You say, I'm not sure I have much to contribute because we're in the U.S. and the Americans must know better about how things should go. No, that's not God's design. God didn't make a mistake. He's put us together as the people we are, and every part matters. And we do want to walk this journey that says if you've got the gift that God has given, God wants you to use it. And we want that too. Of course, to use it in love and humility. God is this masterful and gracious architect and builder of his church. Because of that, every person and every gift in Christ is vital for the good of the body. So I go back to my question at the beginning. What abilities does God highly value? Whatever it is that he's given you. That's what God highly values. He longs to see that in practice. And he says the body needs that. The world might not honor that. The world might say, oh, we pay people minimum wage for that. The world might say, oh, that's not so good. We won't elect that person. We won't praise that person. But God highly values what he has put in each of his children, because he has, in his great design, put the body together just the way he wants. So I want to end with this statement, these two words from this chapter, and then pray. God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for every one of your children in Jesus. We thank you that every one of us is loved and designed by you intentionally. We thank you that you honor those that are so often overlooked. Father, we thank you for each one that you have brought together in this community. We thank you for those who have gifts that are visible and those who seem not to have many gifts or maybe not the things we're looking for. Forgive me, Father, forgive us for overlooking the gifts you have given us in individuals because we're biased toward different gifts, toward different ways of being in the world. We thank you for the design that you have made for each one of us. We pray that you'd help us to have equal concern for each other, to celebrate your gifts through each one, and that we would especially honor those that the world's not going to honor because the world doesn't value as you value. We thank you for the body you've put us in together here at Crossway. We thank you for your body around the world, for the diversity of gifts. We pray that we would walk in equal concern and that we would see your goodness through each one of your children. In Jesus, our shepherd and our Savior, we pray. Amen.